offerings to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, coming to you from my basement out here in East Lansing, Colorado. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in East Lansing, Colorado. Ben Jack in studio with me right now from Worldview Academy. And today we're going to take a look at pop culture just for a moment, because pop culture gives us something of a sense of the zeitgeist. And Bill, just last weekend, it was the War of the Worldviews at the box office.
Sunday, the Battle of Worldviews.
It sure was. It was the battle at the box office between worldviews. There was the New Age movie, or at least the New Age wannabe movie, Wrinkle in Time, which was a bit of a pantheistic, polytheistic thing.
And it kind of shriveled up.
Yeah.
It got all wrinkly.
It didn't do very well. I don't think it's going to pay off the $103 million put into the production budget for that particular movie. The Christian movie, however, I can only imagine did very well, exceeding all expectations. I think they put something like $7 million into the production of the film, but it raked in $17 million in its first weekend at the box office. It's supposed to be in another some 2,000 theaters this next weekend. So a positive result for, I can only imagine, the Christian movie that came out just this last
weekend.
Imagine
that.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Again, that was something of a reproduction of the story that came behind the song produced by Mercy Me called I Can Only Imagine. But there's a third movie that was at the box office. Not everybody may have been equally aware of this particular movie, but it was another breakthrough, a cultural breakthrough, a moral breakthrough against the barriers of the day. And that was a homosexual movie specifically targeted towards teens,
right,
called Love, Simon. Actually did very well for the homosexual community, raking in some $14 million in its first week in the box office. That compares to Brokeback Mountain from 2005 that only received $500,000 at the box office that first week out. And you remember the other coming-of-age teen homosexual flick from last year, Moonlight, only received $400,000 in the box office in its first week out of the gate. That was last year. But this homosexual teen movie called Love, Simon enjoyed something like $14 million in the box office in its first week out. And I think it's because teens are more and more given to the sin of homosexuality now than they were in previous decades, previous generations.
And just the previous 2 years, actually.
Oh, the increase of homosexuality among teens has burgeoned most recently. In fact, the CDC did a report just last year and found 8% of teens now refer to themselves as homosexuals. And evidently the PR campaigns are working, because Massachusetts has done a study on teens in Massachusetts high school since the mid-1990s. In the mid-1990s, only 6% of girls and 7% of boys claimed to be homosexual. And by 2015, the most recent year for data, that has grown to 18% for girls, almost 9% for boys. It's almost the incidence among girls for homosexuality has increased 300%, threefold, since 1995. That's, I guess, not a surprise to me, given the breakdown of family, the breakdown of fatherhood, the breakdown of the increase of illegitimacy. That's now, 57% for millennial women and so forth. So as you see the breakdown of the family, of course, you're going to see a breakdown of sexuality as well. And the incidence of homosexuality among girls has increased from 6% to 18%, at least in the state of Massachusetts since 1995. For boys, it's increased from 7% to 9%. And overall, nationwide, the incidence of homosexuality, or those young people who call themselves homosexual, is now at a flat 8% for teenagers, for high schoolers. So that's a significant increase since the 1990s, which means that these teens are going to be increasingly interested in movies that subscribe to or give some credence to their sinful lifestyles.
Yep. And so what we're seeing is that movies like that are reflecting the state of the culture.
Yes.
And that's what's happening, not just outside the church, but inside the church. It's been my experience that there's a lot of confusion around the issue of homosexuality, even among many homeschool students with whom I work at Worldview Academy. At our camps, I've seen an increase in confusion on this topic as to how to address it, how to address the culture on this, And they have accepted the culture's definitions and language, which then brings confusion to their worldview, to their biblical worldview.
Well, society is spiraling out of control. That's pretty much what the Apostle Paul gave to us in Romans chapter 1 as he details the spiraling of a society into utter degradation as God gives them up to vile passions, as God gives them up to uncleanness and the lust of their heart to dishonor the bodies among themselves, who exchange the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. And God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. That's 18% of teens, of female teens, in the state of Massachusetts. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And that's 9% among young teen boys in the state of Massachusetts. And friends, again, these are instances of God's judgment that has descended upon not just the adults, but now the kids in high schools across America today. And of course, God also gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, etc., etc., who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And that is certainly a definition of what is going on in our society right now. The Apostle Paul had the prescience to write on a society that had degraded itself to that extent. And that would be what has happened in our society as well. And it's affecting the younger generation at younger and younger ages. We're going to talk about Generation Z a little more next on the Generations broadcast. Stay with us.
Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org.
We are back on the Generations radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today. Bill Jack from Bellevue Academy also in studio with me. As we take a look at the younger generation again and define what is going on with the younger generation, they have given themselves over more and more to sexual anarchy, sexual perversion. That's obvious, and of course that's been encouraged by the media in so many different ways over the last 25 to 30 years. And Disney, of course, has been at the forefront of encouraging sexual perversion amongst teenagers and preteens. But now here's another article from FoxNews.com I'd like to interact with, Bill. And it's called Why Generation Z is Less Christian Than Ever and Why That's Good News, from Jonathan Morrow, a columnist with Fox News. And he describes some of the statistics relating to Gen Zers. And as you know, about 8% of Gen Zers now claim to be evangelical. Half of those are in favor of homosexual marriage. That is the younger generation. Not many of them are holding to the very bare minimum of the orthodoxic principles of the Christian faith. So, you know, only 8% of Gen Zers now claim to be evangelicals. That's down from some 23-24% of Americans back in the mid-1980s. Now, a half of that 8% are in favor of homosexual marriage, which leaves us with about 4% of the population being halfway decently orthodoxic in their evangelical faith. That is, for the Gen Zers or the younger millennials.
And I would say that the educational system has won the day. They have succeeded. I recall a student who came to one of our camps, Worldview Academy camp, and when he came, he was there reluctantly, didn't claim to be a Christian. In fact, he told his small group leader that he was homosexual. And during the course of the week, because he heard truth and because he responded to the call of the Holy Spirit on his life, he trusted Christ. I sat down with him during that week, and I asked him, I said, tell me your story. How did you end up at a leadership camp, a Christian leadership camp? First of all, because you're not a Christian. His parents weren't Christians. He said, my principal at my high school, I have a small high school, he said, but my principal called me in and asked me how I was doing one day, and I told him I wasn't doing real well. And he said, my son signed up for this leadership camp, but he can't go. Would you take his place?
Oh,
and that's how he got there.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I said, well, tell me more. And he said, when I was in second grade, my teacher told me that I was a homosexual.
Uh-huh.
And I believed my teacher.
Power suggestion.
And he said, I've never acted on it, but he said, I just thought my teacher was telling me the truth.
Uh-huh.
And I just accepted. His whole life turned right side up because he heard the gospel. He went home, told his parents about it, and he kept in contact with a small group leader. But the educational system has won the day. It's not just Hollywood and Nashville. It is the public schools, the secular schools, that are indoctrinating students. And so they get this fed to them for, 40 hours a week. How else are they going to think?
Yeah.
They're going to think what they have been trained to think.
Well, there certainly is a filtering down of the zeitgeist from the cultural leaders, the philosophers of the 19th century, into the cultural leaders of the day. And then, of course, the academic leaders are trained by the universities, which are always, always, always the furthest left and most progressive and have been for centuries upon centuries since Harvard, Yale, and Princeton compromised and synthesized with a worldly secular humanist perspective and then went on to lead the nation towards progressivism. And my friends, ultimately, it is the educational institutions that have led the nation towards these particular expressions of a amoral or immoral zeitgeist of the day. But let me get back to this article from Fox News called Why Generation Z is Less Christian Than Ever and Why That's Good News. The first point that he makes is that many Christian teens are simply unprepared for the world that is waiting for them. With the best of intentions, we bubble wrap our kids and create Disney World-like environments for them in our churches and then wonder why they have no resilience in faith or life. Students are entertained but not prepared. They've had a lot of fun, but are not ready to lead and so forth and so on. You know, I think one of the arguments that this man brings forward is important because, indeed, our teens in general are not facing reality. Growing up in a fun world, they are truly growing up in a la-la land, but they're not really facing true reality. They're not raised with a sense of sobriety. In fact, in Titus chapter 2 and other places throughout Scripture, the one characteristic that is recommended for mentoring young men is the character or trait of sobriety. We're told that young men should be trained to be sober. We're trained that young women should be trained to be sober. Sobriety was always a basic, most basic element that needed to be trained into our young folks. And sobriety is the one thing that is not trained into the minds and the hearts of our young people, whether in the churches or outside of the churches. I think our teens are not facing reality. I think they're living in la-la land.
We have raised up a generation of fun junkies.
Yeah.
In fact, parents will ask, "What did you have fun at youth group tonight? Did you have fun at church?" And so fun becomes the standard.
Yeah.
And that is the world standard, but it's not the biblical standard. It's not what the Christian standard is.
They're trained to think that they have 100 safety nets underneath them, that nobody really needs to risk anything. There really is no judgment. There's no loss. There's no hell. There's no death. There's no starvation. There's no pain. We have plenty of painkillers. Just go get 3 more Tylenols. There's always more psychotropic drugs. There's lots and lots of opportunities to escape and to avoid responsibility. You see, that's the world that the millennial and the Gen Zers have been raised in. It's a snowflakeism, too. You've heard of the snowflake thing. Snowflakeism came out of permissivism. State nannies take care of everything and so forth and so on. And this generation, of course, is enjoying more discretionary income than any other generation in the history of this country. And the decay of empires is usually attributed to voluptuousness or an excess focus on vacations, pastimes, entertainments. Remember in the Roman Colosseum, it was cries for bread and games, bread and games, bread and, more bread and games,
bread and circuses,
while the hordes came down and destroyed Rome. Between 1984 and 2014, Americans spent less money on clothing, food, and transportation, but they increased their expenditures on recreation, sports, and entertainment, big time. In 1940, only 5% of Americans attended Major League Baseball games, but with every decade, that participation increased steadily up to 25% in the 2010s. Sports broadcast hours over dozens of television channels and cable networks increased from 31,000 hours a year in 2002 to 134,000 hours a year in 2017. It's an increase of something like fivefold or sixfold over a period of about 12 years. Well, my friends, that's what's happened in our culture. We've seen a massive increase in discretionary income and just sitting around playing games. And I could talk about computer games too. Computer game sales has topped $100 billion, Bill. Did you know that? It's about 3 to 4 times what's spent in Hollywood on major motion pictures.
Yeah. Yeah.
3 to 4 times what's spent in Hollywood for major motion pictures now spent on computer games. Well, our modern Gen Zer generation is not in touch with reality, friends. They've abandoned a sense of reality. And so what are we supposed to do? Well, teach them to be sober. What does that mean? That means to teach them that God is real, that judgment is real, that our sins are real. They really committed against a real God. And we need his real Savior, that is the real Son of God who came to shed real blood. Real blood from real veins on a real cross, because we really sinned against him and we need a real atonement. We need a real payment for those real sins that we might have a real life with him for eternity. And that, my friends, is the gospel. The point is that so much of what being taught is taught as a fairy tale. Bill, I think that our young people just aren't in contact with reality, even the reality of the story of redemption. I think the modern mind is so incapable of really touching true reality and really understanding that we live in a real reality. And indeed, Jesus came into this reality. He died on the cross for our sins. He really rose from the dead. And he's really in the right hand of the Father. I think they're losing this sense of reality in a postmodern relativism where ethics is relative, truth is relative, and reality is relative too. Don't forget, reality tends to disappear as we move increasingly into a postmodern relativism where your young teen is always saying, I feel like this, I feel like this, I feel like this, I just don't know anything anymore.
We have so many options. We're on a sea of opinions with so many options and no compass to guide.
Well, according to this article in Fox News, this guy says, so why is the fact that Gen Z is less Christian than ever good news again? Because we need to stop pretending and start living in reality. We need to stop pretending that if we entertain teenagers, they'll stick around after they graduate. We need to stop pretending that if we protect them from everything, they won't question, doubt, or walk away. And we need to stop pretending that a few minutes of moralistic, watered-down Bible lessons on a Sunday morning will prepare them to stand firm for their faith. In short, teenagers need a grown-up worldview, not coloring book Jesus.
You know, and I would agree with him, but I don't find that that's good news, okay?
Yeah.
I find it's a challenge, and it gives me job security at Worldview Academy leadership camps, because if that's the case, then I have a lot of people I can reach and a lot of students that I can train, and we need to stop raising a generation of fun junkies. We cut out the word fun at Worldview Academy camps. We do not have fun, and we throw that word in the trash can, and we talk about what Scripture has to say and how we are to train ourselves to think God's thoughts after him and then apply that in the world around us. Yes, we have a big challenge, but it needs to start with the foundations. And one of the foundations is we need to train them about creation. We need to train them about who the Creator is and stop holding hands with Chucky Darwin. We don't need to baptize secular thinking like evolution and pretend that we can all just get along. We need to make a clear break from the secular training that students are getting and teach them a biblical worldview and challenge them to stand up and address the culture from a biblical worldview.
Bill, I think that a lot of this is a shock to the system of young people listening to the program, because what we're calling for is a full-fledged, thoroughgoing repentance or a change of mind, a change of heart. What we're saying is that the worldview that you've received from MTV, from Hollywood, from sci-fi novels that you've collected from Nashville, from your top 40 radio stations, the worldview that you have inculcated from the public schools, the worldview that you have that has seeped into your system is just dead wrong. It's all wrong. It's way wrong. And the Word of God is going to completely rearrange the way you think, that indeed we are not to conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Oh, I thought it was the removing of our mind.
No, not by the removing of our mind.
Oh.
By the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's what the Word of God does for us. It shifts our way of thinking. And if we're not attending churches in which we are being challenged to think radically different than the way we used to think, if we're not attending churches in which the Word of God is not being preached, then friends, we need to come back to the preaching of God's Word, the clear preaching of God's Word against the antithesis of the day. We need to set the thesis of God's Word against the antithesis of the day and see if there was a radical difference in the way that Hollywood presents its superhero movies and the way in which Jesus presents his truth in the Word of God. Indeed, the escapism, the relativism, the humanism, the existentialism of the day that is shot through the mind of the modern, not to mention the romanticism that has come largely through music over the last 30 to 40 to 50 years. Young people need to see these have been radically wrong ways of thinking about life and about God and about everything. So we need to call young people to repentance. I think also he says a mere attendance to church isn't working in this article, but I think the problem is that attending church and receiving a 15-minute Bible story against 70 hours of instruction from John Paul Sartre, Chucky Darwin, or John Dewey and all their friends is not going to work. You can't set 15 minutes of a Bible story against 70 hours of instruction from John Paul Sartre and from John Dewey and from the public schools and the popular culture and somehow think that you're going to be discipling your children and raising them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's just not going
to
work.
Yeah, we need to tear down the public schools because they're not public schools, they're secular schools. I'm reminded when you say about escapism, one of our students at the Worldview at the Abbey was going home for spring break on a plane. He was sitting next to this lady, and she engaged him in conversation, and they got to talking about his interest in philosophy and different world religions, because she asked him what he was studying. And then she said, where is this? And he said, well, it's a Christian training program. And she just blew up. She just started cursing and calling him names. And you Christians are this and you Christians are that. And he very calmly said, now, wait a minute. You're saying I'm intolerant, but who's being intolerant right now? Who's doing the yelling? And by the time the flight it was over, they had a civil conversation, and he had her thinking.
Uh-huh.
And her last comment was, well, I got to get off this plane. I got to get off this plane. He had talked her into a corner because all he did was ask questions about her worldview, and she couldn't defend her worldview. If we train Christian students to think and then live in accord with a biblical worldview and give them the tools and the skills to engage the culture, then we can destroy arguments raised up against the knowledge of God. And we can train students to take every thought captive. But we have to jettison this idea that we're going to entertain students into the kingdom of God. We have to jettison this idea that 15 minutes can undo 50, 60 hours of instruction in secularism that comes to us through the secular schools and through the media. We have to be serious about education. Until Christians get serious about education, then we're going to see a continued drop in commitment to Christ.
Bill, I think we're asking the question, why are we losing the Gen Z? Or that's the question being asked by this Fox News article. And I think the answer is very simple. We are losing the Gen Zers because the previous generation has not been committed to the faith. The previous generation has demonstrated way too much hypocrisy. The previous generation has been itself far too committed to the other worldviews. They're not willing to take a stand against these worldviews that are competing with a Christian world and life view. And at the end of the day, they're just not intentional or intense enough about their own faith. I think that's the question. As parents, are we really committed to our faith such that we would be willing to disciple our children over 75 hours a week versus giving them that 15 minutes a week at Sunday school and then turning them over to secular educators and pop cultural leaders over the other 75 hours of waking time throughout the week? That's the question. The question is, are we intense enough? Are we committed enough? Are these convictions of God's truth burrowed into our heart enough? Are we loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength enough that we would teach our children God's word as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, and as we lie down? That, my friends, is what Deuteronomy 6:4-7 is teaching us. We are to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are to be so committed to God, so loving of God, his ways, his praise, his works, his nature, his redemption, that we would want to spend that time discipling our children as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, and as we lie down, instead of giving them an entertaining faith, instead of giving them an emotional faith, a superficial faith, and then turning them over for worldview indoctrination to the gods of the marketplace or the teachers of foreign philosophies that seem to be so prevalent in our systems today. Well, that's the question. You know, as we surveyed some 10,000 millennials as part of our Gen 2 survey a few years ago, Bill, what we found out was that almost every denomination is losing members out of these millennial groups big time. The Baptists law is the biggest loser of them all. Catholics are the second largest loser. After that come the Lutherans, the Methodists, the evangelical fundamentalists, the Pentecostals. The more liberal Presbyterians, these guys have lost big time. But the gainers, agnostic atheists, the largest gaining denomination of all that we surveyed, the agnostics and atheists have gained big time. And then secondly, some non-denominationals and Reformed Baptists and Reformed Presbyterians have gained big time over the last 10 to 15 years. They've gained on millennials. They have not lost on millennials. They've gained on millennials. And the reason we asked the various folks whether they were likely to be discipled or shepherded in their respective denominations, it turns out those denominations most likely to disciple were the denominations that were growing with millennials, i.e. millennials are going one of two directions. Either they are denying the faith and turning full-fledged atheist agnostic, or they are going more towards the hardcore, serious discipling, shepherding churches. They're going one way or the other. One thing they're not doing, they're not sticking around and playing games and looking for the entertaining big bands up front, the dry ice, and the whole presentation. They're not interested in that. They're interested in discipleship. They're interested in shepherding. They're interested in some level of accountability in their respective churches. That, my friends, is where the millennial generation is going. They're either turning atheist agnostic or they're going towards serious discipleship-minded churches, which typically are some evangelical churches. Typically not the main lines, but some evangelical non-denominationals, or they're moving towards Reformed Presbyterian or Reformed Baptist churches. So in which
kind of reminds
me
what Jesus said, you know, I wish you were either hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, patooey.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. The youth want to commit their lives to something that has purpose and meaning. And if we, the church, do not challenge them with that, there are plenty of false religions out there that will challenge them and entice them to commit their lives to a cause.
It cannot be just an entertaining faith. It cannot be just some emotional faith. It cannot be just some purely experiential faith. Yes, it must be experiential, but it must be a faith that's keeping Christ's commandments, abiding in his commandments, abiding in his word, abiding in discipleship. It can't just be a piecemeal faith. That doesn't work either. It has to be a thoroughgoing worldview that speaks to salvation, to ethics, to anthropology, to sociology, to epistemology, to politics, to marriage, to guns, to abortion, to abortifacients, to contraceptives, and a thousand other areas of life. The Word of God must address these issues as we're discipling the millennial generation, my friends. This is where we are today. We will see the faith survive as we see an intentional, intensive form of discipleship and a thoroughgoing discipleship in all aspects of life, that the Word of God is there to equip the man of God for every good work. And that, my friends, is what we intend to do by this radio program broadcast on a daily basis from our studio out here in the Western Plains of Colorado. And also, don't forget, we also have our Shepherd Conference once a year, and we have advertised that as well for men who want to be a part of this ministry for 4 or 5 or 6 days at a time. And we invite them out to our studios out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, where they can receive a week-long discipleship program for about 5 days, 14, 15 hours per day, where we have opportunities for study of God's Word. We get into the Word of God. We pray together. We worship. We sing psalms and hymns. And we have tremendous fellowship over a period of 5 or 6 days. And that registration for our Shepherd's Conference opened up just a few days ago, and it should fill up within just a few days. So be sure, if you're interested in participating in this intensive, intentional form of discipleship, where we immerse you in the Word of God for 5 days. If you'd like to be a part of that in my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, simply go to our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. Click on events and register for that Shepherd's Conference today. Again, the website is generations.org. And this is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio. And we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.